So let me just start off with my personal story. I grew up pretty modern. And then after school, I became more serious. And I started discovering more about Judaism, Yiddishkeit, Torah. And I kind of was very, very immersed to the point that I continued those religious studies till the age of 25. That's 7 years. When I hit age 25, I got one of these viruses. I won't go into the details of it now because it's not important. But I used to be like strong, fit guy, like not having to train, did all the marathons type of thing. You know, that type of guy. Suddenly I hit 25 and like my whole system just got whacked. From barely needing to sleep, suddenly needing to sleep many, many hours. From like feeling good all the time to like anxiety all the time, heart palpitations, headaches, and from being like vibrant and successful to barely being able to like give somebody a smile. When that all happened, I started really questioning what is the whole purpose of life? What do we do to get a real, real deep, meaningful fulfillment in our lives in this world? Any question you guys want to answer in your lives, how do you make that decision? Do you think logically what's the best way to assess the situation, the pros and the cons? Get a second opinion. You ask for advice. Your gut instinct. Can you hear that with all those modes of decision making, is that susceptible to making a mistake? Have you ever made a mistake before? I make mistakes every single day, lots. So that being the case, how do I know when I'm making a decision that it's for sure the correct decision? So when it comes to vanilla chocolate, okay, you make the wrong decision. It's not the end of the world. When it comes to like, what's the purpose of my life? And like, this is how you're going to live your whole life. And everything you do in your life is going to be according to these values. You want to get it right. So how do we know that we're getting it right? If God himself would come to you and you hear his voice and he tells you, this is your mission in the world. Is there any better decision-making mechanism than God himself telling you what to do? You'd agree that that would be the best decision-making mechanism? If God tells you to do something, is there more of a chance of you making a mistake with your own brain? Or of God making a mistake with his brain when he makes a decision. Hashem speaks to us today in the form of the Torah, who says, how do we prove the Torah? Good question. And it's a whole discussion in its own right. If you've come to a place and understand that Hashem gave the Jewish people the Torah, and that is how he speaks to us, you understand that we're going to get our information and answer to questions from the Torah. According to God's perspective, Hashem's perspective, what is the point of God creating the world? Let me ask you a question. Can God exist without you and me existing in this world? Just to say for a moment, I wouldn't be here in this world. Would God suddenly like disappear or would he be managed okay? He can manage without us. So why would he go ahead and create a world when he doesn't in his essence need us? Step number one, guys, Hashem created the world for one reason. This is unanimous in all the Torah teachings. Hashem had a desire to give to us. If you're ever having doubts about what's the point of your existence, why do you exist? Don't forget step number one of what all Torah teachings teach us. God created the world for one reason, to give you pleasure. So the question is, what do we do with the Holocaust? What do you do with October 7? What do you do with your own daily struggles that you're dealing with, emotionally, physically, on many levels? If that's the case that Hashem created us just to give us pleasure, why is it that there's so much pain and suffering in the world on a global scale, in a personal scale? Point number two, the ultimate destination of where we're going to reach our pleasure is not this world. It's the afterlife, period. Do you know the Gemaras and many Torah sources say, if you could try imagine for a moment, the greatest possible pleasure in the world that is within your imagination. Now imagine that for 120 years without stopping for 1 second. Do you know that many Torah sources teach that 1 second of pleasure in the next world is way greater than 120 years straight of pleasure in this world? But it's not so motivating when we can't really relate to what the next world is exactly. Whichever way you're going to slice it, you become a trillionaire. You get whatever you want in the world, whatever you get. You're always going to have a question. And it always comes to an end. And there's always pain with that. Families are torn apart because somebody dies. Whichever way you slice it, that's always going to lead you to the same question. So yes, there is pleasure in this world, but it always hits a little bit of a brick wall eventually. If Hashem created us for the sole purpose of unconditional pleasure, where is unconditional pleasure in October 7 or in personal anxiety, death, and the many other things that people go through? So how can it be that we do endure suffering? Where does it ultimately take place, our eternal pleasure? In the afterlife. If that's the case, that Hashem just wants to give me eternal pleasure, and that takes place ultimately in the next world, way more than this world, why didn't he just place us in the next world? Step number three, the only reason Hashem placed us in this world is to have the opportunity to earn eternity for yourself forever. Imagine I come tonight and say, guys, I just won the lottery. I've got enough here, $1 million for each person. I'm just going to give you. You'll probably be pretty happy. However, if after you start your own business, you hit some difficult times and then you hit some successful times and eventually you make your own $1 million, which of the two scenarios are going to be more fulfilling? A, I got it as a gift. B, I worked hard, failed, and eventually earned the success for myself. Everyone's going to say B, I worked for it. It wasn't just a gift that came without any toil. That's what Hashem's doing for us with the opportunity of this world. We're in this world to have the opportunity to earn eternity for ourselves. Because when you earn it, it's way more pleasurable than if you're just given it as a free gift. We can have enjoyment. We're supposed to have enjoyment. It's a mitzvah to enjoy this world through all the different pleasures within a certain boundary, but with tremendous, tremendous pleasures that the world has to offer. But way greater than any pleasure in this world is the eternal pleasure of eternity that we have. We're in this world ultimately to earn eternity for ourselves. We're now moving to part number four, and this is really the whole point of the discussion. This is where it becomes like so much more practical. What is the way that we earn eternity for ourselves? To summarize this whole discussion in one word, the whole point of your life, which is ultimately the way you earn the next world, is one word, emunah. Do you know what emunah is? Emunah is very simple. Hashem created you to have a personal relationship with you. A basic expression of emunah is just talking to God in English in your own words. I'm not even extending this discussion to the learning of Torah and mitzvahs, which will obviously be branches of emunah. Because if I believe in God and he tells me to do certain things, then I should aim to eventually do things that he would want me to do. That's not even the discussion now. Something which is actually much deeper than all those topics. The whole purpose of this world is emunah. Very simply, emunah is one take home. Bring God into your life. Nobody needs to see you. Nobody needs to know what you're doing. Do you know how to say, God, I'm struggling. A certain family member right now is ill and the doctors have given up. Do I just go and become depressed and a victim to my circumstance? Or am I now able to do the opposite and say, God, Hashem, I know that you can help me and I'm asking you to help me. How simple was that? And you can all do it in your own way, in your own words. That's one situation. Another situation, you think of the hostages now. Thank God they've been released. You can't just forget about them and leave them where they are and carry on with my happy life. But what if I can't do anything about it? I can't go there physically and take a gun and shoot people. It doesn't work. So what do we do? If you believe there's a God and you pray to God and you actually ask him, God, please bring these people home. You're doing two things. Do you hear what you're doing? You're fulfilling your mission in this world, which will give you the highest ticket to eternity. And that will automatically lead you to a meaningful life in this world. Do you know that the Gemara says that if you exist today, you woke up today, that means you have a mission and a role to play that nobody else in the world can play. When you speak to God, you're praying for something to happen, for there to be peace. I just read now and more soldiers were hurt. And there's always things happening. But you make a prayer. Please, Hashem, protect the soldiers. And there's so many things we can all do for one another. Let's pray for one another. Maybe God will just listen to you. Emunah and bitachon are independent of our actions. The Midrash says, the Ramban, many bring down, Afilu Rasha Ubotech Ba'Hashem. Even if somebody's classified as a sinner and he reaches out to Hashem, Hashem will help him. The opportunity for emunah and bitachon to have a personal relationship with Hashem is independent of our mitzvahs. I'm not saying there's no consequences for mitzvahs, but the opportunity is something that every single one of us can do right now is reach out to Hashem and have a personal relationship with Hashem, building for ourselves the best places for eternity as well as the most meaningful life in this world.